baptisms. There are 7 different baptisms in the Bible. If you're in a cult tonight, every time you see the word baptism, you'll find water in that baptism. That's a cult test. A lot of people don't understand that, but if you've been brainwashed, honey, you've been got by the best if you're in one of them things. It ain't like you're weak-minded. They take on the strong-minded. And you'll notice he said of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible. Would you underline that word impossible right there? It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. That gift is salvation, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Did you catch how it's impossible? If you could lose your salvation, you could never get it back. And the reason being is because God Almighty has gave an eternal life gift. You don't get away from that gift. You don't decide one day, well, I'm going to quit being saved today. I'm going to quit believing today. I'm going to do this, this, and this. That is not how this thing works. We try to make this thing in human terms. We need to look at God's terms. When you got saved, you didn't get saved on your terms. You got saved on God's terms. The war is only over with God when you run up the white flag. And I notice he says there, if they, you know, for all these things it said there, if they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and to put into an open shame, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth the blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. And the things that accompany salvation, he says, though we thus speak. Now, there are some things that accompany salvation, and here they are. There's a new life in Christ. That's one thing. Being sealed with the Holy Ghost at salvation, that's one of the things that accompany salvation. So you got a new life and a new Lord, and you got a new ledger. You got a Bible now. You look in there and see what God says, and you go by that thing. But he says in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And he says there, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So as we look at all this, he said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now we go back over there and we go center on this word here in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. When he's talking about leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, that's not leaving Christ at all. That's the doctrine where you got saved. The doctrine of believing and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. He gave you power to become the sons of God. Now you're the sons of God. And when we get to that word doctrine right there, we notice this. There's some purposes that we preach Bible doctrine. There's some reasons why. And that word right there in verse 1 is number 1 purpose is to keep us from being childish. I think that when a person gets saved, we should go on to maturity instead of hanging on to sin and being a child.
Right.
I don't know if you know about the doctrine of whippings, but I'm going to tell you how it works so you'll understand this. For those watching by way of YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, God forbid, well, the rest of them, whatever you watching by tonight, I want to tell you this. If you didn't get whipped when you were growing up by your parents, you got cheated.
Well, come on.
You know why? It didn't last an hour.
Come on. Freak.
Unless they was real mad, then they'd whoop you for a good little spell. Mm. If you tried to run, it'd last a whole long time then after that.
Right.
But I never walked away from a whipping that I said, you know what? I hate my parents. I hate who just whipped me. I hate them, hate them, hate them, and I'll never love them again. You know why? I couldn't talk for the tears. Amen and amen.
Right.
You get the right kind of whooping, you don't go away running your mouth talking about hating somebody. But after you go on, you get in there and you snub and you get it over with and you think about it, you know what you'll think? I ain't doing that again, whatever that was. No matter what it was, you understand? I ain't doing that thing again because that thing brings pain. didn't last with me past the hour. I didn't walk away thinking, all them stripes, boy, I'm going to turn them into somebody. Lord God, have mercy. You know, when I was a kid, listen, this is why I'm just wearing shorts now, okay? When I was a kid and you wore shorts, they grabbed a hickory and tore them legs up. You come out looking like candy canes. You have two little candy canes come up the bottom of the shorts. And I asked why they used a switch, and they told me if a switch turns things off, it needs to be off, and turns things on that need to be off. So that's what a switch does. So when it comes to electricity, I already had it figured out. That thing's either to cut it on or cut it off. But that switch they whooped us with, listen, my heart goes out to you children who still haven't been whooped with a switch. I think they ought to get you up for child abuse for that thing. I really do. That hurt worse than anything. If I was going to get somebody for something, it'd be the switches. I kid, but you know what I'm saying. But I do know this, when I've talked to older people about how their daddy was back when they had them leather things that hung up in the barn where they sharpened a razor they shaved yourself with, I'm going to tell you what, if you get whipped with a belt now, you are spoiled. You ever been to the barber and seen one of them things? They don't use them razors no more. It's against the law too, I think. Something about, we call it hygiene or something. They'd take that leather and they'd hold it out and take that knife and do this with it. But if it come whooping time, they'd put the knife down and get that thing and hold that little piece of metal in it and tear you up with it. And every time it hit, boy, that thing would about to turn you inside out. They said they had, back in the old days, when they didn't have electric heat, they had a woodshed behind the house. That's where you get that term, take them to the woodshed. You didn't come out of there unless daddy or grandpa, mama, or whoever took you out there was satisfied you had learned your lessons. And listen to this. The book of Proverbs tells us that they do that because they love you. Right. I don't know how that's true, but that's what the Bible says. I just don't agree with the Bible, okay? And they tell me this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it is you. I never believed that, and I don't believe it now. Being on the receiving end of that thing. But listen to this. When you go down here and you look at that word doctrine, that's to keep you from being childish. To keep you from being childish. When a person gets saved, we shouldn't act like a child for the next 40 years. Churches need to understand that, and I speak this to help out fellow brethren, but if every time you have a business meeting, there's people getting in a fight and all this other stuff, quit having them meetings. Listen, you ain't operating with a $1 million budget, and quit having them things, because they some people's childish, and they wait. No, they won't read their Bible. They'll read the bylaws waiting for the business meeting so they can do things. But when they want to do things, it goes against the bylaws, and they want to drop the bylaws. Quit being a baby. You're too old to be acting like a 3-year-old. Grow up in Jesus. Continue on in the things of God. You've got to the doctrine of Christ where you've accepted him as your Savior. Now that you're saved, do right. Greatest 2-word sermon in the world, do right. When all else fails, do right. When nobody else will, do right. Just do right. If you look over at 2 John, take a right where you are. You go to James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 2nd John. See, the purpose of preaching Bible doctrine is to grow you up so you grow up in Jesus and be a big Christian. And it'll work. If somebody was to take and study and read the Bible and come to church and listen and not think you know everything, you'd be surprised what God would do with you. And you look over here, 2 John, verse 9, dealing with the word doctrine here, watch this. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. See, remember, he said, get that one first. But these people here, they transgresseth, they abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. I underline these three words in my Bible. Hath not God. Those people that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ primarily deals with this. He's God manifest in the flesh. And he came to this earth as 100% man, 100% God. He lived a sinless life, died on the cross, his blood paying for your sin, rose again for our justification, ascended into heaven and said, the way I'm going up, I'm coming back this way. And that's the doctrine of Christ. It's plain. This Bible from Genesis to Revelation is his book. But it said, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You see that thing there? He said, if they're coming to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. See, the purpose of preaching Bible doctrine is first, it's simple. It'll keep you from being childish, and it's also designed to keep us from cults. Keep us from cults. Let me tell you a little story to help you out here. There are people in this world who are better people than Baptists, but they're going to hell on a slippery slope with religion. What their problem is, they don't have the doctrine of Christ. And with looking at this thing practically, I'll tell you some personal things that'll probably help you out. Years ago, I was cutting grass in the front yard on a riding lawnmower, and I saw these two look like Church of God women coming towards the house. I got up on them. They had little black badges. They were Mormonettes. That's a female Mormon. I don't know what they call them. That's what we're going to call them, Mormonettes. And they wanted them to have a Bible study with me. Told them, no thanks. Don't study with cults. Well, who do you think we are? I said, I know who you are. I have a gift. You know, everybody has got a different gift, right? We all function well together. My gift's spotting cults. They could have come in blue jeans and t-shirts and I'd have spotted them. I just listen to what they say and I can tell them first two of their sentences what they are. That's my gift. And the funny part is I've dealt with these people for 27 years. Got to win some of them to the Lord. Most of them look at you like you got two heads when you show them this verse right here and don't let them in the front door. I don't play with them people. God said not to let them in. There's a reason why God said not to let them in. They bring all them devils in with them. They don't realize how bad a trouble they're in with the Lord. When they go up and make the statement that Jesus and Satan are brothers, they don't realize what shaky ground they stand on with the Lord with that. They're going to get to heaven having been taught that it'll be Joseph Smith, Jesus Christ and God the Father, or Heavenly Father, like they call him, and they'll be there to judge everybody. They're going to be surprised when they die, and there's one there, and that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, that great white throne judgment that judges them on their works. Right. The works that they think they've got that'll get them in heaven, that judgment won't be for that. That judgment's what you're going to be condemned with in the lake of fire. Right. Don't worry about old Joe. He'll have to stand up to that judgment too. But there's a thing about these people, and I don't know what it is, but when you start talking to them, they're brain dead. They've been trained to be brain dead on things. And it just seems like that to us, but to them, they've been taught, wait for it, the doctrine of lying, because you can't handle the truth, you know, like that movie. You can't handle the truth. That's what they're taught about you. See, once you get mature and you start being their outfit, then they'll tell you how you can be a god when you grow up one day. I think the thing that really put my alert on them people, how phony they were, I met an adult version of one out here in one of these places in the office, and me and my wife had to sit in this office and talk to this person, and right there on the desk was a Book of Mormon. I said, they come by your house? She said, no, I am one. I said, I didn't see a bicycle parked outside. Honest as the day is long, I wasn't being mean, I just... They weren't allowed to ride bicycles. Ones I thought they had to do that. They were doctrine of cars was bad, but yet there's a bunch in front of the church on Sunday morning. And she told me, she said, no, we send them young people out. So all that stuff you hear these jackleg preachers tell you about, at least they got it. They get out and get there. No, they have to. Yep. They have to. One of the main guys that was over all them attended our Bible college after he got saved. It's funny what he told me. He told me they'd go to any Baptist church in this town and be welcomed, and everybody smile at them. He said they walked in Jimmy Robbins and got thrown out for the service. He said Jimmy told them something. What it was is this: I know what you're here for. If they come here, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna follow them. I'm gonna stand up and pew in front of them and preach to them. I don't know which one, but they're here to look at your face. And when they go knocking doors down through here, and they say, "Oh, we go to that church up there," to get them off the doors, I say, "We was there Sunday, and you wasn't there. You mind if we just have a Bible study here where you say you don't have to go to church?" Okay? But listen to me. God said don't let them in at all. Now some of you, listen, some of you are so full of pride, God can't even speak to you right now. And I'm going to try to, and I want you to listen to me. Okay? Is that a deal? And you look at these verses and tell me later if I'm right. If God said not to let them in the door, when you shoot your big mouth off and say, well, when they come to my house, I tell them what I believe, and I think that, is that you? You can tell what you are if you do that. You are backslid on God and don't realize how full of pride you and full of the devil you are. God said don't let them in. He said they don't have one thing with them when they bring in. That's the doctrine of Christ. If they think he's a man that created this planet that used to be a man and worked his way to Godhood, that's not Jesus Christ. And when you stand up and say, well, I show them what I know. Honey, listen, they've been trained to go around better than you. You hear me? They've been trained to take better than you down and better than me. So when you go shooting off your mouth like that, your little pride will get you in trouble because you'll find out. They say, well, let us go first. And then they have told you everything. They don't care what you say because they're already not listening. Imagine a vacuum cleaner salesman coming to your house, you ladies, and he's trying to sell you a vacuum. And you're trying to sell him your tore up one. Guess who's walking out with the money? The guy that went to school to learn how to sell vacuum cleaners. See, they're not designed. They don't come to your door to go to church with you. They come to get you out of it. And most people that they deal with around here, they probably will get them. You know why? People are not settled in Bible doctrine. They have no clue what the word doctrine is. They don't know where it appears at in the Bible. They've never picked up a Bible or anything other than the preacher said, let's turn their Bibles to. They don't pick it up the rest of the week. And they are in trouble with God because they keep letting a bunch of devils across their threshold. Now notice this. It shows us how to handle the cults here. It says, if they're coming into you and bring not this doctrine, receive them not in your house, neither bid in God's feed. I ain't gonna tell them, God bless you, hope you get somebody to seed and take them to hell with you. I don't care who they are. We've had trouble with them up at the house, and I refer to them as this. I got my shotgun back up, got back out the other day and got it where it sounds real crisp and clear. That's if they say one word about, well, I ain't going nowhere. Oh, yes, you are. You've got two choices at that point. And do call the police if you come to my door and I rack that shotgun. We're going to find out who's illegal, who's legal, and who's illegal on my property. You get that part? I don't know how the other 49 states do, but in South Carolina, if I ask you to leave, you have to go. And you listen, them teenage guys come up my door, tell me, hold the book of my word. You better be young and helpful. Better that 10 speed better be able to go a good speed. So would you do that? I already have. Law won't come to house over that. That's my property. You're not welcome that cult stuff. My property. Listen, the very fact you ain't saying amen, you think I'm in wrong. I'm telling you, I get rid of them. I don't play that stuff. And the next one shows up, throws a milk bone dog biscuit, one of my dogs. They gonna get the business end of it from mama because she don't like you giving her dog stuff. Two of them little skinny things showed up one night at 9 o'clock. This is the South. You don't come on my porch when the lights ain't on. You'll hold that Book of Mormon up because it's all scripture verse. Me and Herschel and Jordan come on. It's been 10 years ago, I guess. Come on, Sunday morning. Jordan said, Daddy, that's them boys right there, son. So y'all going in the house, son. Herschel's like, you don't need no help. I said, they weigh 100 pounds together soaking wet. What are they going to do? Run? And I won't be able to catch them? I went and stood missing. Look right up. I mean, the boys taught me. Everybody's taught me. I looked right up and I said, listen, don't you ever come to my house again after dark. So you get shot like that in the South. You think you breaking in. What do you think? They swung and hit me? No, there's just don't be talking in tongues either. I'm Baptist, amen. Listen, you don't come to my house no more. I said, because it might not be mama comes out and tell you to go away. It might be me, and I ain't playing with you no more after today. You understand me? I hate to be like that, but when you're going to be act like stupid like that to my wife and kids, I'm going to get real stupid with you. You know why? God said throw you out of property. Don't welcome you in the house. Cults ain't welcome there. You said, does that work? I don't know. We could ask Rick Wilkerson if it works. He was a Mormon. I told him when he married my mom, I said, you are not welcome in my house. I'll talk to you and I'll be nice to you, whatever family reunions and everything. Cross the threshold of my house, you're not going to do it. My mama said something about, we'll get a lawyer. I said, get you 12. It ain't going to work. I do not let people involved in cults in, period. And the funny thing is Rick ends up showing up at a funeral, and I preach to him and let the rest of them slide. This is my grandma's funeral. I can do what I want to. They didn't want me there, but she did. She wanted just like grandpa's funeral, you know, type thing. So I had one guy on one side and one guy on, just in case I got out of line, you know, you independent Baptist, I might start talking about the Bible or something. I told every liberal preacher there, told him to look up, we wasn't praying, we was preaching. And I looked over him, I said, this old lady in this cat's here said Mormons was a cult, they didn't let them in the house. She also told me not to listen to you liberal preachers that corrected the Bible either. I said, she taught me about the Bible before I ever learned all the detailed stuff. 300 people there. Three people speak to me afterwards. My cousin that owns Vic's Tire, his mother, and Rick. Rest of them put out with me. So a few months go by, Rick comes by, what was that church up there in Shelby on Lafayette Street? What was the name of that one, that big one up there? You was there the night it happened. Some of y'all, Ben was there. Davidson Memorial. Had a revival, preaching on the rapture Friday night. We'd had somebody get saved the night before and all, just everything was going well. And I saw him come in and sat down, and he was just taking this stuff in. And he said, can I come to your church Sunday? I said, sure. You're always welcome at church. You're just not welcome in my house for what the Bible says. Nothing personal, just what the Bible says. Well, we ended up leading him to the Lord and everything. He got saved. Boy, you talking about dropping the dime on my crowd. He said, every one of them go to Southern Baptist Church and told me Mormons is going to heaven just like them. I got news for you. If you believe that crowd's going to heaven, there's something wrong with you.
That's right.
I've heard people say, well, I think some of them are saved. Which ones? Because when they reject Christ and start believing a Jesus that was that was Joseph Smith's brother and the devil's brother and all this, that ain't the Bible Jesus. You've got the wrong Savior.
Right.
There shall arise false Christs and false prophets. We just looked at that in Matthew 24. There they are right there. Look over at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It just keeps getting gooder and gooder, don't it? Revelation chapter 2, if you look down at verse 14, we got the purpose of Bible doctrine and preaching this to keep us from being childish, keep us from cults, and to keep us from Catholicism. Here they are, Revelation 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. That doctrine of the Nicolaitans was a simple division between clergy and laity. All those terms come from that crowd. Clergy meaning the priesthood. Has it ever occurred to you that in the New Testament there's not a priesthood set aside from the people, because all the saved people are priests under Jesus Christ? That's why that thing's been done away. So if some dude comes up to you wearing a dress like mama, when you call him papa, and he says he's a priest, he's clergy and you're simple laity. He's better than you. He's closer to God than you. The very first lesson I learned when I got saved was this. The only person closer to God than me was the Holy Ghost, and he's the one put me in him. And there was no better Christians than others. We're all the same. We're saved by the same blood. We're convicted by the same Holy Ghost. We have the same seed of the Word of God that brought us there. We have the same Father, and nobody ranks higher in God's army except for the captain. We've got one captain. How about that? Yeah, but you don't understand. We got lay preachers. I don't even acknowledge that term. I don't believe in lay preachers. I believe God calls somebody to preach, but that don't make the man better than people.
Right.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this, but I'll go ahead and tell you. I tithe just like you tithe. I come to church just like you come to church. I live in a house just like you live in a house. We drive the same type cars. Nobody's better than nobody here. That's why I like this church. We're all. So why do you stand up on a platform? So you can hear me better. And it was here when I got here, and that's just the way it's going to be, I guess. There's another way we could do this. We could put y'all up on a platform and put them fan seats up like that, and I'd be down here and look up at you like, and that would bother me. I'm preaching sure like that. It's just the way this was built. I would run down there, but I'm too out of shape. I have to run back, and I just couldn't make all that. Maybe one day I'll get better. Who knows? But what he says there about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is you find people who are strange and don't get Bible doctrine in the Bible that are in this clergy business. Let me give you some examples. I met a man over at the... There was a place that we always used to... Danny Cannon had two services on Wednesday. He found out half his church were at second shift, so he'd have a Wednesday morning service. Boy, you had no way to lay out then, did you? You had to, you know, if you don't take a shift, well, you know, I work second there, boss, can't make it. He had a 10 o'clock that morning service. And I'd go over every Wednesday morning, there's several, and we'd go eat lunch afterwards, just like it's a Sunday morning. But well, I was at the same Chinese place over there, and I can't remember the name of it, but they had them round grills, and you'd tell a guy, you'd dump some stuff in there in a bowl and hand it to him, he'd go around with a stick and cook all that. You know what I'm talking about? We sat there one day, and there was this guy with a collar on sitting over here beside us. And he came up to us, he said, are y'all preachers? We said, yes, sir. He said, y'all had church today or something? Or no, he said, y'all had mass today. I said, no, we had church service today. He said, oh, yeah, that's what I meant. I said, who are you? And he said he was an Episcopal charismatic priest. Now, you talking about messed up right there. Them words don't even belong in the same sentence. If you've ever been to Episcopal church, hallelujah, all that stuff right there, and stand up and sit down. You go to charismatic church, they don't know what seat they're in. They're running around and flopping on the floor and everything. I thought to myself, if you do that and that dress you got on, I got to come see that. I've never seen anybody do that. So he begins to tell us that, and something clicked. I just asked him, I said, what church are you the priest of? And he told me, I said, what's the final authority in that church? And with the serious thing could be, he said, we got 50 men. We're all clergy. We get together, all 50 of us, and we pray until everybody's in agreement. Then we know that's the final thing God wants to do, and that's our final authority. I have never met 50 human beings that you get them together in a room and all of them like each other and agree on one thing. Never seen it. I won't even ask for a show of hands because some of you don't believe that and you won't raise your hand. And I thought, this guy thinks that he can get together with 49 other people and they can all pray and get together. And he cited that thing out of the book of Acts. They were all one accord. I said, dude, I said, I don't know who taught you that. That's way off there. He said, what's the final authority? I said, the Bible. What God said, that's the final authority. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do that too. Yeah. So we left there, and I'll call the guy's name out because this is so funny. Jason Elder was sitting beside him. Brother Billy's brother, Jason, Brother Jason Elder. He calls me 2 days later and said, you ain't going to believe this. You do anything? I said, no. He said, can I bring a tape over to your house? Sure. It was that guy on Channel 16 with his little thing on, his dress and all this. And he took so much pills. I don't know what he was taking. It was downers. Obviously. He sounded like Ozzy Osbourne. You couldn't make out what he's saying. He was slurring his words. I mean, he is so down. He was taking downers what he's taking. I said, I wonder if them other 49 guys, he said, yeah, I wonder if they take them too. You know, we just laughing about it. Anytime the Bible's not the authority you are, there's no telling what lengths you may go to in sin. There's no telling. But Jesus Christ said, that thing I hate. I hate when somebody says they're a clergy, he says. I hate when they bring that doctrine and the doctrine and the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I hate that thing. People says he's the loving God. He said he hated that thing, didn't he? He hates it when people get taught that. Do you know I don't park in clergy parking? Never have. Not my crowd. I'll park with you Baptists. I ain't parking over there. I'd hate to think they thought I was one of them. My grandpa called me one day. My Aunt May was dying, and she is a Catholic. He says, "Son, get out here and pray." He said, "We don't need prayer quick." I got out there, and the old father, he cussed me in the parking lot because I got his parking place, he said. He didn't know who I had no idea who it was. And I thought, well, I bet that's that Catholic priest who called up. Walked on in there and got set down, and he said, "Well, you know, we gotta all pull together and make sure that all religions are the same. They point towards the right God and blah, blah." And I thought, hope you ain't saying that for my benefit, because I already know you're a liar and you cussed me out in the parking lot. And then he says, "Well, I think we need to pray. Brother Greg, could you pray with us?" I said, "Sure, would be glad to. Lord, help this sinner cussing mouth, you know." Four people in the room ducked their heads when I said it. I swear, you know. I'm sitting there thinking, you fake as a $3 bill. You can cuss me out in the parking lot, didn't realize who I am, then it's a different story. He said something else, and finally Papa walked over and grabbed him by the arm and said, "I think you need to come with me." Escorted him right out the door. Said, "What would he have done if he wouldn't? You don't want to know." I'll tell you this much. My grandpa was a drunk most of his life. They took him down to that Catholic church to have a wedding thing, him and Mama, a wedding anniversary thing. They were going to bring in cases of beer. It was my papa who said, "Don't bring that in here. This is God's house." I about fell out. There's already popped the top. "Oh, well, that's church. You don't do that in no church." And I feel bad running off people for smoking. Who thinks you can go that far in the church? Obviously, somebody's got something mixed up with them. The thing about doctrine is, we preach this stuff to keep you out of it. To keep you from being childish, to keep you from being in cults, and to keep you from being deceived by a bunch of people that want to get an ecumenical movement together, and they really don't want you to do that. See, Joe Biden's using their outline right now. Here's what it is. We all need to be together. There should be no division among us. Let me translate that in case you're too dumb to know this. He wants you to junk all that stuff about the Bible and go bow down to his liberalism. Yeah. And listen, he's only heard that because he's a Catholic and he heard it from his priest. Yeah. They're saying the same thing. I got invited one year to go be part of the ministerial association around here. I said, "What is that?" The guy told me, "So we're going to start at the Lutheran church. And we're going to have a message there, and the Methodist guy or girl, I forget which one, is going to preach at the Lutheran church. Then they're going to go down to Presbyterian church down there downtown, and they're going to have the Lutheran guy preach at the Presbyterian church. Then when they leave there, the Presbyterian guy is going to preach down at First Baptist. Then when they leave there, they're going to go up to the Charismatic church, and somebody, one of them other guys, which one I've left out, I don't know, but it's going to be another different guy. And when they got done with all that, you know where this headed? Right back down to Catholic church for the Catholic priest to tell them how to be ecumenical, how to love one another, and have mass in a Catholic church." I told him I thought I'd have to decline that offer. And that's been 25 years ago, and I still feel the same way. Amen. Every time they talk to me about it, I'm nice. I don't holler at people. I'm hollering at you now. I'm very nice to these people. I'm very cordial. But I always tell them, no, I can't go with that crowd. I've been working on something of mine. I've showed you all this before. I want to show you something. Brother Curtis, come over here and stand right here if you would. Nate, wake up back there and get this long shot going. This is a visual. You stand right here. You're going to be the independent Baptist pastor. Now, you wouldn't be moved by a Catholic priest at all, and you need to do something, right? Okay, good. Amen. 1611 King. You know.
Amen.
Yeah, that's him. Okay. Brother Brad, if you would come up here. This is our Southern Baptist pastor. We believe just alike, except for women wearing dresses and missions. Y'all heard this before, right? Stand over here. There we go. Y'all step up. We got to put some more people up here. Okay? Now, he, being what he is more open to these other fellas. And Methodist Pastor Peter, if you would come up here. They're friends because their churches are close together. Every Thanksgiving, they do a joint service. So he's right here. He would never let a woman preach in his pulpit, and he wouldn't either, but he would. Because they could ordain women pastors at this church. So our Lutheran preacher, come on up here. Our Lutheran preacher talks about how they're Protestants, but yet he don't protest nothing. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. They're against abortion. That's good. And these guys here are all nice and buddies, and while that one on the end wouldn't be influenced by this one, then the Pentecostal woman preacher, come on up here. She comes up here, and while she's up here, she can't influence them, but she can get to him and him. Ready for the punchline? Come on up, Catholic priest. Here's the punchline. That's why we practice separation as Christians. Not as bad as Christians we do this. Now, our independent guy, remember him? He would never let this guy preach for him. Now, here's what you've been waiting on. I'll be the devil. Y'all been waiting on it all night, right? Y'all all hold hands, standing side by side. Here is what happens right here. Are you ready? Wake up, Margie. Listen. Now, listen. Willow, you back there, you wake up too, okay? All right, watch this. I'm the devil, remember? Come on. All right, stop. Now, right here. Stop right there. Y'all quit holding hands. Just stand where you at. Remember, he was over here. He would let the devil influence him, but it all come around like that. Look where he's standing to start with. Only, what, social distancing, right? I mean, we, you know. Maybe I should have had y'all 6 feet apart. I'm so sorry. But my point is, and I think this is visually illustrated just as good as it can be, he would never let him preach for him, but somehow he did. We separate from people for a reason. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. How are we going to do that if we don't know Bible doctrine? If we don't know the doctrine of Christ, how are we going to come out among them? There's no way. We'll be trapped by that guy right over there. You can't even see the devil pull him. But yet here we are. Look here. Independent Fundamental King James, eh? He's way aware now. He's over here in the NIV territory. We never thought the devil would get to him, but the devil didn't do it directly. Mm-hmm. Who got to Adam? You get this, right? Thank y'all so much. What we find out is we won't be moved, but the devil will come through a whole line of people just to get to us. You gonna be on TikTok? We'll take that off there and do it here. We can get him on that one. He waves at the camera. What we find out is we have a bunch of people that, 40 million strong Baptists, all it takes is a few of them to be cut from the way. See, when I was a kid, Jim Baker was the bad guy. You know why? We didn't know he had a gold dog house with air conditioning. We didn't know that. But we knew he asked for money all the time, and that was bad. Our preacher preached against people like that. Our preacher preached against the televangelists and how they were worthless and ungodly and all that. And then by 1979-80, the independent Baptist that was most well-known independent Baptist at the time was Jerry Falwell. He took a slide over here in Rock Hill down that big old slide in a suit. If such and such money got raised or something, I forget what it was. But the news media mocked that preacher and they showed that for 6 months every time the TV came on. Here he come in a suit. And they would laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Why was Falwell with Jim Baker? I don't know either. I read his biography. I couldn't believe he was Jim Baker with anything. But wait. Before Jerry Falwell died, remember they had Liberty University. Do you realize I preached for preachers that went to that college? It was taught by Harold Wilmington that wrote Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. They know the man personally, talked by him, several of them other guys. And they couldn't believe that happened. But what they really knew, song came out of Liberty University, a Christian rock band, and they were recommended by Falwell and all the staff. They couldn't believe it. All them old gray-haired men that helped put that thing up, they couldn't believe it. But they did nothing. And then the funniest thing happened after that, they still did nothing. You had guys preaching and saying stuff, and before Jerry Falwell died, he weighed 400 pounds and joined the Southern Baptist Convention. That's the Southern Baptist Church and the Southern Baptist School right now. What's the next step? To make it a Liberty College instead of Liberty Baptist College. You ever wonder why I don't let preachers preach it ain't Baptist? That's wrong. You don't do that. Well, they're Christians. They may be. But when I read about all these Baptists all the way back to the time of Christ that was called by different names, that held the same doctrine of Christ we do, how they'd kill them for preaching. No, you ain't coming here that charismatic stuff. It's false. As kind as I can, if I have to preach a funeral with a woman preacher, I won't stand on the platform with her. I never do. I'll be on the platform. I'll be outside smoking or something with the people. I don't know. I will not be up on the platform endorsing that stuff. I won't be in the building while she does it. I know most of these funeral directors, so come get me when she's done. And God forbid let me go first. I go to the house and I get done. Ain't going to change the outcome. We're still going to be where we're at. But I'm telling you, as long as we keep saying, just one time, it'll be just one time. It's just one thing. Just this one thing. Just this one time won't you do it. That one time will lead to a second time. That second time will lead to a third time. So how do you know? I used to be a drug addict. I know exactly how this works. You ain't laying in a ditch with needles in your arm crying out to God wanting something and can't even half see, can't half breathe. You don't get that way one time. One little step. Devil feeds you a little bit more, get you over here. Well, you know, you can't stand like that in the 21st century, you know. How about when they stood for it in the 5th century and they put them on stakes and burned them alive? Y'all know that still goes on in the world? Hey, Newsmax ain't talking about it. Fox ain't. Remember, those are savior channels. CNN ain't talking about it. C-SPAN, MSNBC. And every time they have a C-SPAN and some senator or some congressman gets up and says, we need to talk about these Christians getting killed in foreign countries, the mic suddenly goes dead and they don't ever talk about it again. Yep. For the last 4 years, I've watched that happen over and over when they bring up Christians in Iran. They don't come in and tell you you can't have church anymore. They come in and kill all of them. That thing in China where they put them in prison, that's donuts compared to what they get in Iran. Listen, you and I have got to get back to Bible doctrine. For two reasons. One, we love Jesus and he said to do it. Number two, we got to learn where the separation line stays. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you see it happen different, you let me know. But if they need groceries, call me. I'll get them groceries. I won't let them starve to death. Brother Ben and I took stuff to people. They wouldn't have me in a preach state. If they was giving money to let me, they would let me in there. And I don't care. I got a place to preach right here. But at the same time, I'll do that for them. But I'm not going to go fall in the ditch with them.
Right.
There was a man told one time, he said anybody that disagreed with him, he'd pop him in the face with his fist. Well, you just have to hit me because I ain't agree with you on that stuff. I don't care how hard you hit. I don't care how big you swing, what you got. You just have to knock me out. I ain't doing it. We're going to stand where God stands. He said, having done all to stand, Ephesians 6:10, stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Here's the good part. I will receive you. I will receive you. Listen, there was two great things happening in this church early on that probably changed the course of this church or be closed down right now. Number one, when the last founding member left the church, I took a screwdriver and hand took off every one of them little plaques that said, donated in memory of. It was all everything. Windows, doors. It's so bad the mice couldn't even get in their house. There's one down there with the mice hole. Bad, I'm telling you. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you just let me know when to take them down. Instead of being impersonal with a drill bit, with a screwdriver, no, I hand-done it. I had a stack of brass plates this high. And if God would let me sold them out there to the alloy man, I'd have sold them to him. God said, burn every one of them, so I did. They looked like a crumpled mess when I got done, but they was gone. That changed the course of this church. It became his that day. The second thing is we got out of the convention. Oh, they don't fool with us. They don't, you quit sending them little quarterly reports and you find out they'll fool with you real quick. They'll be talking to your deacons behind your back and talking to your members. He's getting all crazy and getting out there. I mean, if y'all pull out of the convention, if you can't pay your bills, what's going to happen? We can't help you. That's what they told my members here. And I plainly went up there to their office and told them to their face, you can come to my members all you want to, and any one of them you get out, you can have every one of them. I said, I got a few I'll recommend if you want to. They said, we ain't done that. I said, now you're lying again. So I told them the names of the five people they had talked to. Well, I didn't really mean, wait a minute, a while ago you ain't even seen them. Now you didn't really mean to say that. Was you lying about this? You lying about that? That's what we're dealing with here. Lying is of? Real easy to figure out who's playing on what team. They posted a big thing about people think they're of God and they need to go back to it. Say it to my, put my name in an article. If I write it, I'll put yours in. I don't want to cloud the issue. I want it to be out and open. And then the final thing come down, we got out of the thing, and you know what? I had three deacons that come to me and told me, they said they can't help us. I said, here's what I want you to do. Drive uptown behind the first McDonald's you see and take a left. Take another left, that's Indian Hill Road. Drive up that nice church over there that they just built. Go in there and ask me. If she's a pastor, who helped her build it? She's not a Southern Baptist, but they sent construction workers down there, electricians down there, and mechanics down there to help build that building. But if you and I needed something, if we could get power on, they would help us. Please, honey, they ain't never helped us. Even when I couldn't pay the bills, they didn't help nobody here. Followed on deaf ears. Oh, we can't. We only got $170,000 in the bank. We just can't just get the old money out. Yeah. And you put it all in Carnival Cruise Lines. Oh, you didn't know that? You ought to read their stock report. Find out who Anheuser-Busch is and what he puts out. Find out who that man is. Find out from your financial statement in your church how much money you really do send them when you say you don't. Get right with the Lord and quit cowing down to these men or women, whatever it may be. Even if it's your wife. Are you listening to me? You got to stand up and be a man sometime, son. Now's the time. Today's the day. Listen, we ain't going to be isolated, but we separated from all them false doctrine practices. Why? Because that is the very thing you need to have to be right with the Lord in this day and age. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.